Hello and welcome to On Board with Cruise Passenger, a podcast series for people who choose to cruise and those considering a cruise holiday. Hello and welcome to another edition of On Board with Cruise Passenger. I'm Rose Jacobs, your host.
And I'm Peter Lynch, Editor-in-Chief of cruisepassenger.com.au and Cruise and Travel magazine. And today, we'll be bringing you news about the eternal dream of retirement at sea.
I know my mum is dreaming of this or planning for it, and I wouldn't mind doing that myself, Peter.
Indeed. It's a great Australian dream. And judging by the enormous reaction we've had to the story we ran on cruisepassenger.com.au, another line failing to deliver sadly means the story has no happy ending.
Ooh, but on a brighter note, I like yes. Positive notes here. Peter, I think you've just returned from an amazing expedition cruise to Fiji.
Yep.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but expedition and Fiji don't normally go hand in glove.
Well, I'm glad you spotted my tan, but yes, a fascinating 7 days in the Lau Islands, a great culture, amazing people, and quite a lot of kava.
I'm not surprised in the South Pacific. Now, Peter, it is the month of February, which means we are celebrating my personal favourite day of the year, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Now, it turns out that even though I am currently single, I am a bit of a hopeless romantic.
Why am I not surprised, Rose?
I don't know what gives you that impression, Peter. But I do think that Valentine's Day can be a bit of a hallmark event where people get carried away with the idea of roses and chocolates. But did you know that cruising and romance go hand in hand?
Look, I know about shipboard romances, but what happens on board stays on board. Those are the rules.
No, I think these days we actually say what happens on board stays on Facebook.
Ah, yes, That's so true. But what I'm referring to is the classic romance, the true love moments that are celebrated in style on cruises with couples who are choosing to celebrate their special occasions, anniversaries, plan their proposals, or take a fabulous honeymoon to renew their vows, even have their whole wedding on board a cruise ship.
You are right. There are so many ways of celebrating love at sea, and much of it can be classy, Peter. It does sound like a great idea to have your nuptials on board a cruise.
So I think you recently found some facts about a big rise in interest in walking down the aisle on a cruise ship.
Let's hope the waves aren't too rough. We both saw that at the same moment. You're exactly right, though, Peter. Princess Cruises says that the average land wedding to get married in Australia is $36,000.
Wow.
That's average love, honour and, But if you want to get married on a princess cruise ship, it's $9,879 and that's for up to 18 guests. So
it's a snip. And I bet you get the captain to perform the ceremony.
Well, you do. You do, actually. And the line has seen a 127% increase in wedding ceremony bookings and an 83% increase in the number of ceremonies performed between 2022 and 23.
No wonder Princess Cruises starred in the iconic 70s and 80s Love Boat series.
Ah, one of my favourite shows ever. And a great segue, Peter, as well, for
Thank
our
you.
Guest today. The show captured the hearts and imaginations of all the Aussies who would tune in to keep up with the shenanigans of the captain and crew and the many eccentric guests and all the intricate tales of love at sea. Now, I was so happy to spend the day on board the Royal Princess, but for me, the personal highlight was meeting one of my favourite actresses of all time. She was the original Love Boat actress, Jill Whelan, and she played the captain's daughter, Vicky Steubing. Yes, indeed. Now, she revealed something I hadn't actually heard before. As a teenage actress, she was fat shamed over her weight as a teenager.
Wow.
With a producer buying clothes one size too small to force her to diet.
Oh my gosh, that's so cruel.
You would not hear of that happening today.
You certainly wouldn't.
Here's how our chat went on board.
I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Jill, it is an absolute pleasure for me to meet with you today. I grew up obviously watching The Love Boat and in fact, I'm a huge fan of Airplane.
Oh, wow. Yes, okay, good.
Which in Australia we call Flying High.
But that's just been one of the most fabulous films that has influenced my sense of humour for the rest of my life.
Yay!
So I have you to blame.
Only for one scene.
In my book, it was the best. It was ultimate scene.
Thank you.
But yes, you're an absolute icon for me. And when Meg said that you were coming to Australia for this event, I was delighted.
Yay, so, thank you.
And it was a real joy to be able to hear you chatting with Jess, who's a dear friend of mine as well. And just to hear a little bit about your background and some of your favourite memories about Princess and about filming for the show as well. Well, now, our audience would be dying to know, obviously, you starred alongside Gavin McLeod in The Love Boat, playing the captain's daughter, but it was 190 episodes. I mean, that's a fair chunk of of your growing up.
You know more than I do. Okay, that's information now. I have that.
190, that's pretty impressive. Okay. Or you could even up that and say close to 200.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Close to 200 episodes. There you go. So what was it like for you to star, particularly at that age, in one of the world's first sitcoms? And what do you think also of shows today that are top hits like The White Lotus? I mean, is there a comparison?
Well, I don't know how we would compare ourselves to White Lotus. We are so different, but yet we're all vacationing, you know, so everybody's out of their normal world. So that's interesting. But what are the shows? Do you mean what shows?
Well, look, I guess your show really created something so magical. And since then, there's been an evolution of television, and it's really hard to actually capture something that was just so perfect in itself.
Yeah.
There are
you
so many.
You couldn't redo it.
People are
like
attempting
that.
To today, but I just don't think that there's ever going to be anything like that again. I mean, we've now got a new version of The Love Boat here in Australia called The Real Love Boat, and it's pretty bad. it really taps into that Love Island or Married at First Sight. It's pretty bad.
Well, it's a different, they don't, so here's why I think Love Boat was successful in the beginning. Aaron Spelling was really good at creating television that was aspirational. And if you look at something like The Real Love Boat, it's, you know, it's not aspirational in that you don't see yourself in those couples, because who wants to see having to compete to find somebody? You know, that's not what we want to be, the one that stands out to that special someone. So there's that part of the difference. But Love Boat was about getting on a ship, which was not attainable in the beginning, finding romance or repairing a relationship or some kind of milestone. For, oh my gosh, I just sounded Australian for 2 seconds.
Milestone.
I know.
That's great.
Yes.
You've only been here a day.
I know. So think what could happen in a week. there are some shows, you know, it's just different today. I think that we have become very complacent in finding what entertains us. Mm-hmm. And so, you look at all of the reality shows, and the ones that everybody watches are the train wrecks.
Yeah, some sort of instant gratification.
You want to delight in your life is better than theirs.
Some trauma or conflict.
Right. Yeah. And it's a lot easier to create trauma, drama, and conflict than it is to create that dopamine or that humor. It's lazy to do that.
Yeah.
As opposed to doing the humor and the things that take a little bit more effort.
That authentic connection.
Yeah.
Like you said, it could be on a romantic level, or it could be, you know, connecting with someone who's just a loved one in your life that was what you guys created in the beginning.
Right.
Authenticity.
And I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
And I hope we can get back to the, you know, the aspirational aspect, because I think I cannot believe that there isn't one person on the planet who doesn't understand and really appreciate aspirational. entertainment. Entirely. Yeah.
Well, that's why I love doing what I do. It's, you know, yes. Cruising, it is all about, you know, what you aspire to do, and dreams can come true when you're at sea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and exploring different cultures and meeting different people and exactly. Learning about things that aren't something that you grew up with. And I truly do believe that the more we as a globe are able to know each other, we realize how much more we have in common than what we have that's different.
Absolutely. Yes.
So
I love that. Thank you.
Of course.
Now, do you have a favorite memory of all time from your filming on the show? I mean, it was a formative stage of your life, being you know, a young teenager and preteen, even when you began. Perhaps something that viewers might be surprised to know.
Gosh, there's just so many that are like just swirling in my head. I think my favorite memory, and I don't know if people will be surprised about it, but it really is the camaraderie that we had. We sailed on a ship once that was just us. And so going into the dining room together was just us. And we happened to be in Monaco. And I don't know, I cannot remember how the connection happened, but I got to meet Prince Albert and his best friend, who was a Greek shipping magnate's son.
Yes.
And I had this huge crush on him. So everybody in the dining room would make fun of me, but it was just us.
Yeah.
So it was light and funny. And so I think those kind of memories. We had Debbie Allen on a cruise once, and she and I used to sneak into the kitchen at night and have snacks in the middle of the night. She taught me how to do dance moves and things like that.
Wow.
So those kind of behind the scenes sort of fun little things that you don't hear about so much.
I'm sure the list would be endless.
Oh my gosh, there's so
sitting
many.
Sitting down and remembering Was there anything like a worst memory on the show? Any downsides from having that as your childhood?
Oh, sure. I mean, but I'll share them with you, but I am the kind of person who I try not to dwell on those, and I do seem to forget. I block some of them out.
Yeah.
Like one of the things that, you know, being in Hollywood, it's the necessary evil. You have to be so conscious of your physical appearance. And being a child who's going through puberty, you know, we have, you know, it's so impressionable. We doubt everything about ourselves. Mm-hmm. We look to others and judge how we are on their image.
The hormones we go through at that stage in life are hard enough, let alone having the pressure of Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah.
And so one thing that was really difficult was the producers, and not Aaron Spelling, because he was fabulous. Okay. And just it was our other producer, Doug Kramer, who was very misogynistic. And I didn't even know this until Lauren Twees, who played Julie McCoy, came to stay with me this past year for a weekend.
Yeah.
And she was telling me that when we would go in for our yearly wardrobe fitting, so you go on hiatus and then you come back before hiatus, and the wardrobe department has done all this shopping and they bought all this stuff, he would tell them to buy everything a size smaller than what we were, so that when we came back, we would, everything would be tight, and it's we'd have to...
Gaslighting right there, isn't it?
Incredibly. And I remember one time I went to a, back in the day, we used to call them fat farms. Mm-hmm. And I look back now, I was not fat. I was a teenage girl with a very round face. And so, but that's the impression that I got from it. And I did every crazy diet in the world, 400 calories a day, just crazy stuff. But one time in particular, I went to this fat farm, which is this really lovely place in Ojai, California. And I lost a bunch of weight. I was down to a size zero in the United States, which I don't know if an eight here is a four.
Yes.
For America, so
excruciatingly thin.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got the cover of the Inquirer, and I came back to work, and they bought this beautiful white silk gown for one of the evening things with a sweetheart neckline. Mm. And they had this where the elevators opened and I came out of the elevator and it was a wide shot so you could see head to toe. Mm. And I didn't even know about this again until I was an adult. One of my dearest friends worked for Doug Kramer. Mm. And she just told me this not too long ago. They were sitting in what's called dailies, which is you shoot something and then everything that's shot that day, they edit together in a rough cut. And the next day during lunchtime, the producers and the directors will go and watch to see, do we need to do something different? Does the shot look right? Whatever, lighting, everything, just to check it all out. Mm-hmm. So they were in dailies and that shot the first day back from my fat farm and from our hiatus, the elevator doors opened up and this is my friend talking. She goes, and you look stunning. You look tall and thin and you look just great. Doug Kramer looked at the thing and says to the editor, no, I don't want to see her body. I'm still pissed that she was fat. Just show her from the neck up.
There is no excuse for that.
No.
No.
No, there's not. And I'm so glad I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah.
There's a lot I didn't know at the time. Mm. But that doesn't mean that I didn't feel stuff at the time.
And, absolutely.
You know, he would tell my mom, I want her to lose weight. And my mom would say, I'm not putting a 14-year-old on a diet, Doug. She doesn't need to come back then next year because I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Now, of course, today we are on board the Royal Princess and you're here in Australia for this fantastic event, which is all about the celebration mm-hmm. of love on board. And your love of cruising is very strong, in particular with Princess. You've served as a host for various dynamic events, and as we've just discussed, you've been named the brand spokesperson for the Cruise Line Celebrations Ambassador in 2015. Is there anything yet that you feel is still in the pipeline that you would like to do with cruising and bringing out the best of your joy?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I love my relationship with Princess so much. So my husband always jokes that I'm an idea factory. So
yes.
I have so many ideas that spin in my head that I want to
What's your craziest idea?
I want to redo the whole excursion. When you go to the TV and you're on the ship and you're seeing what the excursions are,
yes.
I want to redo all of those and
yes.
do them with like celebrities or just fun and interesting people and do them
great.
Together. And because it would be, because we could turn it into a TV show,
yes.
You know, just on the, not on, off the ship, but I mean, you've got a captive audience. You have all these amazing
so
people
true.
That love Princess and are so loyal. It would be fun to kind of just do that too. So that's one of my crazy.
I don't think that's so crazy. I think that sounds brilliant and it's a no-brainer and it needs to happen. I'll come and do it with you.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. We'll redo your onboard TV channel.
I love that.
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. We'll talk to the authorities.
There
later.
We go.
Yes,
there we
okay.
go. I mean, they're doing the wake show and we've got to keep up with the wake
yes.
show because the wake show's great.
Yeah, we're going to be woke with the wake. We're going to be amazing.
I love it.
Honestly, Jill, I just take my hat off to you. And like I said, I've been really just honored to meet you today.
Thank
it's
you.
Been a very special moment for me
and
our
me
listeners
too.
As well. So I thank you for your time today
thank
and
you.
For sharing your love with us.
Thank you. And thank you for being so gracious.
Are you a first-time cruiser? Everything you need to know to book your first cruise is in the Cruise Planner. Available at newsagents now or at cruisepassenger.com.au.
What a fabulous celebration with such an iconic actress.
She was fantastic, Peter, and I can now tick that off my list. I've had the up-close encounter with the Love Boat. And we're not talking about the new TV series called The Real Love Boat. No,
no.
I'm talking about the original because the new one really doesn't interest me as much as the original.
Very, very different. And to stay with the spirit of that interview, quite a few lines are now offering special Valentine's Day deals.
Yes, so for a starter, how about the Paul Gauguin cruises where you can take your sweetie to Tahiti. This is a deal.
Full marks for that.
I love it. $500 of onboard credit plus a welcome bottle of champers and a chocolate treat.
Only for your sweetie in Tahiti. Yes, call Ponant on 1-800-878-671 and book a 7-14 night cruise to qualify.
Now, there are more cruise deals from lines like Viking and Avalon Waterways on our site at cruisepassenger.com.au.
Cruise and Travel Magazine is Australia's glossy guide to luxury holidays. Pick it up at your local newsagent or on our website, cruisepassenger.com.au.
And now something that isn't the love boat. The dream of retiring at sea and escaping the mundane is something our readers have aspired to for years. But we've been investigating what's on offer and our warning to readers, not everything is what it seems.
No, tell me more though, Peter.
Over the past 5 years, a number of new lines have sprung up using older ships, offering the dream of eternal cruising. Mm. We've recently looked at Victoria Cruises line, which tempted a number of Australians to put down $15,000 in deposits with the hope that they would be able to cruise on a residential ship.
Well, it sounds great, but what's the catch?
They didn't have a ship.
Oh.
Their chief executive wrote us a letter explaining his idea to give the company your deposit. He gets enough deposits, I think 81 was the number, and then he's able to charter a ship.
Oh, dear. That's heartbreaking.
I know. Sadly, he didn't actually tell the people who were giving him the deposits that.
Cheeky.
You've guessed what happens if they didn't get enough deposits, and that's really the point. A sustainable business model is one where you already have the capital to do what you say you're going to do. In this case, they clearly didn't.
No, and that's a very sad story, but I'm sure there are better stories at sea.
When you go to the website, it all seems so real. There are pictures of the ship. The captain actually gives you an interview. He wasn't hired, by the way. Mm. And of course, there's an artificial intelligence created image taking you around the ship. So it's unbelievably authentic.
How much did people pay for this?
$15,000.
Oh.
And almost all of them are still waiting for their $15,000 back.
It's an incredible story. So you can read that one on cruisepassenger.com.au.
And a good warned.
Be warned.
Yes, there's only one successful residential ship in the world, and that's called The World. And Ross Packer has two apartments on it, and they cost millions of dollars.
Millions?
The World, to be fair,
yeah.
Millions.
Mm.
The World, to be fair, has been sailing since 2002, and it's really only for billionaires.
Well, Peter, I think you've recently had a ball on an extraordinary cruise in the Pacific. Tell us about that.
I will. I was on the Caledonian Sky, which many of you may remember sailed the Kimberley for APT. It's now with Captain Cook Cruises Fiji.
I love Fiji.
Yes, well, I'm not surprised. It's a place not immediately associated with expedition. But on the other hand, it is a wonderful place to find idyllic diving and snorkeling.
And family friendly. That's what I love about it.
Very, very friendly. The outer islands are amazing. The people are so open and so welcoming. Everywhere we went, we were welcomed by choirs, children, and of course, Carver.
Carver. Carver.
It's an acquired taste. It's at the centre of every island ceremony. Everywhere we visited, there was a ceremony and our ship would donate Carver
to the local village chief.
In fact, in order for us to swim on the beach, we needed to give the village chief Carver.
It's very important. It's a ritual.
I know. They call it grog, which is rather extraordinary.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, as long as they're not calling it champagne, I think it's probably fine. But it is a little bit of a mild sedative effect, isn't it?
Yeah. It does, yes. I'm not sure I understand why I'd be drinking something that makes my lips sedated. But, you know, I'm sure it's a thing.
Well, you know, some women try to get those big lips looked. So maybe Carver is like the South Pacific Island version of that.
I have to say.
It numbs the tongue as well. It,
not my favourite. They actually put it into a huge bowl of water and it turns into a kind of muddy soup, but Ooh. Fijians love it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too good to me, Peter. I'm not sure you'd get me trying that one.
Well, of course, as a non-drinker, you probably wouldn't, but it's a huge part of Fijian culture.
Mm.
And they are notoriously friendly, welcoming and accepting. So it was kind of difficult for me to say no, but I did.
But you did. But what about the cruise itself?
Look, the cruise was magnificent because, you know, my two favourite pastimes, diving on coral reefs, you know, seeing the fish, but also seeing the people and being up close with a culture you just don't get to see.
Yeah.
It was really lovely and Fijians are just gloriously welcoming.
So
wherever
warm.
We went.
So warm. And the natural beauty, as you said, is extraordinary.
And they're working really hard on saving the coral. We went to various areas where they're planting. And Captain Cook Cruises actually itself is doing a lot of coral planting.
Now, Peter, I believe there are some fantastic deals on right now.
There absolutely are. Captain Cook Fiji is offering 3 days free on a 7-day cruise.
Try saying that after a bit
three
of
three days free on a 7-day cruise.
3 days free with a numb.
Take your sweetie to Tahiti.
But sadly, that's all that we have time for today. Don't forget, Cruise and Travel, our gorgeous print magazine, and our cruise planner are now on sale at selected newsagents, or you can subscribe at cruisepassenger.com.au/magazine.
They're fabulous. Pick them up immediately. See you next time.
See you guys.